In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading for this evening is an appendage to the Old Testament reading for this morning. Actually, it is part of that reading, but it's in brackets, which means you can either read it or not, and it's not included on our bulletin insert for this morning, so we're going to look at it this evening. Here again, this reading, it's short, only three verses. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news, or glad tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news, or glad tidings. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. There's a lot packed into these three verses, but what is central to them is this: behold your God, behold the Lord God comes with might. And God comes in order to rescue his people from everything that oppresses him, from their sins. He comes to rescue his people from despair. He comes to rescue them from death. He comes to rescue them from darkness and unbelief. He comes to give them life eternal. Behold your God. Behold the Lord God comes with might. But wait a minute. In the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was God. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which, as Matthew tells us, means God is with us. God is with you. God is with you in his Son, Jesus Christ, and for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. But this doesn't seem like the Lord God coming with might. I mean, Christ Jesus came in weakness, in lowliness. He was born not in an emperor's palace, not to the wealthy, but he was born to a young peasant woman in a backwater town in Galilee. His stepfather was a carpenter. He was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was placed in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Where is this might that Isaiah speaks of in his prophecy? Well, God lowers himself for us. God condescends to approach us on our level. God does not expect us to climb up to his level, to ascend a ladder to heaven by our own good works or by anything we do. That would be impossible for us. We just cannot do it. And if we think we can, go home, if you think you can, and take a hammer and beat yourself over the head with it until you get that foolish notion out of your minds. Again, the Lord God comes to us. He comes to us in Jesus Christ. God with us. God with you. And there is might in the incarnation of our Lord, although it's hidden, it's concealed. It's concealed under the infant flesh that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. It was concealed in this toddler, Jesus, as he was beginning to run in Mary and Joseph's house. as he would go out into the street and play, as he would fall down and skin his knees, looked just like any ordinary child. Again, our Lord passes through every stage of childhood up to adolescence and then manhood. Again, do not think Jesus was walking around with a halo so everyone could see and say, "Hey, that's the Son of God." Not at all. Again, he looked like any other man, any other male Jew. But nonetheless, there is great might, a wondrous miracle accomplished in the incarnation of our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This is not something any of us could do. It's not something any of you women could do. Only the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who fills the universe with his majestic presence, only he could choose such a lowly birth for us and our salvation. Only he could conceive of the notion of sending his son to the cross to die for the sins of the world. Only the Lord God in his might could raise up his son on the third day following his death and burial. And only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in his human body, his human nature, could ascend to the right hand of the Father to rule over all things for us. Yeah, the Lord does come in might to us. He will come in might at the end of the age, but first he comes to us in a lowly and humble form. He comes to us for us and our salvation. This is good news, or glad tidings of great joy. This is echoed in Luke's account of the nativity of our Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in the field who were keeping watch over their flocks by night, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, don't be afraid, for I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. I bring to you good news," gospel. That's what good news or gospel literally means, good news. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, the verse 9 of tonight's reading says, "Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Fear not." This is referencing the Holy Christian Church, the company of all the redeemed in Christ Jesus. And we in the church are not to leave our lamp under a bushel. We are not to shrink in fear before the fierce anti-Christianity of our day. God tells us to fear not. God tells us to lift up our voice and proclaim the good news to all. And this is our privilege as the redeemed. No matter what we face, the Lord God is with us, as the Lord God was with John the Baptist in his prison cell. And when he was facing execution, being led to the executioner's block, waiting for the axe to fall, we need not fear, because the Lord God has conquered death for us in the death of his Son. Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world." And he does that precisely by his death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension. The The work is accomplished, all except for one thing. And this brings us to verse 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. For us who are in Christ, we await God's exceedingly great reward as we enter into the heavenly presence of the triune God. Now, don't think of this as a reward you work for. Think of it, if you will, as God's gift of himself to you. God's gift as you overcome finally and completely the temptations of this world, the struggles of life in a fallen world, as you receive the crown of righteousness, which God gives to those who eagerly await the coming of Christ. Then our Lord God will come with might. And thanks be to God for that. We have something to look forward to. We Christians in this age of prosperity in which we live here in this country, we tend to overlook and downplay the return of our Lord in glory. But that is our hope. That is our confidence. That is what the church longs for. And we have a dress rehearsal of welcoming the Lord in his glory when we come to the sacrament of the altar. There we behold the Lord our God in the lowly form of bread and wine. The reading for this evening ends with this verse. He, the Lord God, will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. You know, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know Jesus' words in John chapter 10. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I, Jesus says, am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. I lay down my life for the sheep. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. And in the book of Revelation, we hear this about the redeemed in Christ, those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear out of their eyes. We still have tears, don't we? We still have these struggles. But the promise of Revelation chapter 7 is what gives us hope. And again, it is for a blessedness, a beatific vision that we cannot imagine in this world. But the words of God are faithful and true and can be trusted. As the reading for this morning concluded, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. And those whose lives, by God's grace, are built upon the church's one foundation, Jesus Christ, whom we know through the word, will endure forever as well, enduring in this life all the things that assault our faith, enduring to the end, and entering into the presence the glorious presence of the triune God, the one whom we know through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.